Michael, over All-Star Weekend, I mean, obviously prior to that, but over All-Star Weekend, your piece ran with Steph Curry. You had talked to him a few weeks before down in San Francisco in the Oakland area. You know, you've been following him and have known him since he was a kid in Toronto as well. What's your take on the criticism coming from some of the former greats in the game, specifically with Oscar Robertson at the top of the list? I mean, talk about Phil Jackson with some of the bizarre tweets that he sent out about Chris Jackson as well. I mean, it just seems bizarre the way folks are piling on a guy who's having an unbelievable season with an incredible team.
It just makes them look foolish, really. I mean, it's there's no real defense for any of the comments or criticisms. There's obviously, and the article, I wrote a magazine article for Sportsnet a couple of issues back, and addressing the fact that what Steph Curry's doing, what Golden State's doing, is in some ways a response, and it's both a response and a beneficiary of changes to the way the game is played. And there's rule changes that were introduced going back into the early 2000s, and they've kind of filtered through the coaching ranks, and style of play has changed and all of that. And Golden State's kind of, you know, the peak of that. But you can't take away a 28-foot jump shot. You can't take away the ball handling skill this guy's demonstrated that allows him to shoot. I mean, the other night when they beat OKC, he hit tied an NBA record with 12 threes. I think 9 of them were off the dribble.
Yeah.
Contested. So there's no defense. There's no, that wouldn't have happened in the old days. You know, Oscar Robertson's talking about extending the defense. Steph Curry's shooting something like 28 or 50 from three outside of 28 feet. There's no defense you can extend.
Yeah.
So, you know, would the 95-96 Bulls beat Golden State in a 7-game series? Maybe, if you played those old rules and the physicality in the game and all of that. But there's no guarantee, because the 95-96 Bulls wouldn't know what to make of the kind of shooting ability that Golden State's able to put on the floor, and Steph Curry in particular. So anyone who doesn't enjoy this and appreciate it as just another chapter in NBA history, as opposed to, you know, some kind of glitch in NBA history, is, you know, they're missing the boat.
It's the evolution of the game, Michael. You're right. And it's tough to compare eras. It really is. And I'm with you. Like, I mean, what would Michael Jordan be like in this era when you couldn't touch him? I mean, we look at fouls now. We Eric and I see it on the radio. Guy brushes a guy in the cheek, and they go to the monitor, and they review it, and it's a flagrant one. And we said somewhere Charles Oakley is killing himself laughing. But it's the evolution of the game, and you can't take away what they're doing. Interesting chat the other night. Eric and I played it on the radio with Brendan Malone, who said he likes the way the game is going. And it's not coming back, because you've got big guys. I mean, you know, Wednesday night at the Air Canada Center, we saw young Trey Lyles shooting threes. 15, 20 years ago, hey, kid, you're 6'9", get in the paint. And so the game has evolved. It's become a pure skill game. And, you know, I tweeted in that Oklahoma City game, it's pretty tough when you go under the screen at the center circle and the guy can stop behind the screen and shoot it. And people will say, well, in Orlando, he made almost the same shot that won the game against OKC. People said it's a fluke. It's not a fluke. You and I stood on the court at the Air Canada Center, and if you look at the black paint on the logo, he shot 6 of 10 from the black paint. So I'm part of that older generation too. And the game was different back then. And for the new generation that looks at Wilt Chamberlain and says, well, he wasn't playing against anybody. Hey, man, 50 points is 50 points. And he averaged 50 in a season. So the long and the short of it is, you can't compare across eras. So appreciate what you have in this era. Take it, run with it, love it. And leave those arguments for the bar, where if they played these rules or they played these rules, who would win?
Yeah, well, I think you can compare across eras, like not directly, and you have to kind of control for a bunch of factors. But the one point I would always make is there's only 450 people in this league, and the league is now global, so they're searching all over the world to find guys good enough to play in it. Coaching staffs used to be, and I talked to Jerry Colangelo about this when he got into the game in the 60s and 70s, and you know, you'd have coaches rolling out the balls at practice and sitting on the sidelines having a smoke, reading the sports section, that was coaching, and you know, but that was the era, and now you've got guys breaking down video and pulling up clips of specific tendencies on specific players, and they're reviewing it on the plane, and you have staffs organized like football teams used to or do now, the point I'm making is, unless you really believe that everyone who's been kind of fought their way into this league is somehow stupider or less prepared or less fit or less committed than those who fought their way into the league 30 years ago, obviously the game is better.
Right.
Obviously the players are better. Obviously the product is better. And, you know, and if you can't really accept the normal flow of human progress, then you're bound to run around disappointed a lot of the time. I mean, would anyone we know, I mean, there's classic cars. Like, there are cars that we all grew up with that they are pleasing to the eye, and they bring back memories, and they have a look to them that, you know, you can't recreate. But nobody wants to drive them anymore.
No, they're killing the air.
You know what I mean?
The lead in them is killing everything. I hear you.
Like, a 25 or 30, you know, a normal family sedan now has features on it that are far superior than a luxury car had 30 years ago at a fraction of the relative price. So that's progress, and the NBA is a great example of that. And it's not to say, you know, it'd be interesting if you took some of the players now and put them back in the 60s, 70s, 50s and forced them to travel by train and play 44 minutes a night and not get, you know, properly fed and all these other kind of luxuries that they enjoy in the modern age. But the NBA is at a very, very high level, and a lot of really smart, talented, committed, hardworking people with a lot of money on the line have, you know, leave no stone unturned. So it's impossible to me to suggest that the game is anyhow worse than it used to be.
All right, let me maybe leave it with this, because we could continue to go on, and it sounds like all three of us are clearly in agreement in terms of the bogus criticism that's out there. The one thing I would say that is bogus is those that already are saying, could he be the best ever already? I mean, is he better than Michael Jordan? He's a hell of a player. He might be the best shooter already of all time, but I don't know if with one ring, with, you know, success over, you know, a few years now, you can say that you're going to supplant Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant or Shaquille O'Neal or Wilt Chamberlain or Magic Johnson or Isaiah Thomas or anything else. He might be on that path, and as I say, he might already be the best shooter. But I think we do have to temper some of the hype that's out there, as great as he is.
He's got a long way to go. He does. I mean, Michael Jordan, 6 times in the finals, 6 wins, 6 MVPs. There's a tweet out there. If people remind me, I'll throw it up. And it's a list of all Jordan's games in the finals in terms of his scoring. Michael was a great defender. That's something that, you know, I'm not saying Steph isn't, but Michael was elite. He could take the other team's best player and stop him. So, you know, there are a lot of factors. And I agree, though. He name a shooter that's better. And again, I'm from that generation. And we look at some of these names and say, would you take him over Steph Curry? Larry Bird, Dale Ellis. These guys could really shoot the ball. Craig Hodges. Would you take them over Steph Curry? Maybe in a catch and shoot, it'd be tough. Be close. Off the dribble, no chance. So I'll buy into that. But in terms of the greatest player ever, maybe the greatest offensive player, there's a debate there. But, man, you got to play the other side of the ball too.
Well, the season he's putting together this year is on pace by all kinds of measures to be the most impactful offensive season ever. And right in the conversation with Michael Jordan's 86-87 season and the two early 60 seasons that Wilt had in 60, 61, 62, before they changed the lane. And, you know, that's the year that Wilt averaged 50 points and all of those kinds of things. And when you can kind of control for minutes played and all of that, there's three guys have had seasons like Steph's having this year, and they're Wilt, they're Kareem, and they're Michael. And he is right there, and he's on pace to break some of those records. So now, if he's going to play at this pace and earns his second ring, and 5 years from now he's got 4 rings and has been to a final, well, we're going to have a very serious conversation about that.
Oh, yeah.
But he's on pace. He's doing this season in particular is as good as any of the greatest seasons Michael ever had, certainly offensively, or Kareem ever had, or Wilt ever had. And, you know, if you don't miss that boat. does that mean he's going to be the best player of all time? If you know, look, this guy is going to win 4 or 5 rings on his own. Then he's going to become Ray Allen. He could win 3 or 4 rings as a specialist for somebody. So be prepared for that conversation.